of our life, maybe the past 29 years or however old you are. Praise God. And so if we can change our words, it may take some time, but we can change our lives if we begin to agree with God's word and speak his word. Even what Charlie was just reading earlier in Malachi chapter 3 verse 10, I want to look at verse 11 because I want this to be our confession. It says, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground." That's what I say. I say the devil will not destroy the fruit of my ground. "Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed. You'll be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." God's speaking good things over us. He's speaking prosperity. He's speaking blessing. But then look here in verse 13, the people doubt the character of God and they doubt his words. And God said, "Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against you?" Don't argue with God. Argue with anybody, but don't argue with God or his words. And they said, "How have our words been against you?" He said, "You have said it's vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts?" Again, the Lord of hosts there. But they say, "What profit is it? It's vain to serve the Lord." Well, that's ridiculous. They're speaking contrary. They're contradicting. Their diction is contrary to what God said. And so it's important that we find God's word and ask ourselves, is there any way in our vocabulary that we are contrary to what God's word says? And I know a lot of people say, "Oh no, I speak the word all the time," but yet some people have a confession problem and don't know it. And you got to stop and look at your words and examine your speech and say, "Am I really speaking truth?" I've known people that had a cussing problem. Have you ever known somebody? Have you ever worked with somebody who had a cussing problem and they were not even aware of it? I've known people that would literally cuss almost every other word. And at one time I counted in about 2 minutes how much a person cussed. And I just, as nice and as loving as I could, said, "Do you realize that you just said this certain cuss word 15 times in the past 2 minutes?" And they said, "What? No, I didn't." And I say, "Yes, you did." And they were like, "No way." They didn't even know they were saying it. And so there are times that we have to stop and listen to ourselves speak. And a lot of times my wife will catch me on things like that because she'll hear things or she'll catch things I'm saying that she'll say, "Oh, watch that confession. You need to get that right." In the same way, I'll do that with her because our confession is important to us. What we say is important because we realize that confession is made unto salvation. With the heart man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But it's also made unto whatever it is that you need. So, you've got to control your tongue. If your tongue is out of control, then your life is out of control. I can look at a car and I can tell you exactly which way that car is turning. As it pulls out, if it's going to pull out of a parking place, if it's going to pull out of a street onto a busy street, I can tell exactly where that car is going to go. Not by the blinker, because the blinkers can be deceptive. Blinkers can be wrong. How many of you have seen that before? Where somebody either didn't have their blinker on or they had it on and they had the blinker going left, but they went right. You can always tell where someone is going by the way their wheels are turned. And what determines their wheels? The steering wheel. Okay? That steering wheel is going to tell you exactly where that person is going. And so confession is important. We just look at the wheels. In the same way, if you're wondering about people, listen to them talk. Spend some time. Speak to them and let them speak to you and listen to the words they're using. That'll tell you where their life is going. It'll reveal a lot through the words that people use. James chapter 3 verse 3 says, "Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body," which is a little bit that's put in a horse, and a horse will go whichever way you tell it to. And where that bit is turned, in the same way, just like the steering wheel of a car, that's the direction that it's going. I remember one time house sitting for these people who had a horse, and I didn't know anything about horses. And so I was in charge, and they said, well, you can ride it if you want. And I thought, oh, man, that'll be awesome. I've never ridden a horse. I think it'd be good to be able to get on one. And I could see myself just riding around the pasture, you know, on a horse. And so I said, oh, okay. Well, they didn't show me how to ride the horse. But I go out there, and I'm looking at this horse, and there's a saddle. And I thought, okay, well, that goes on there. So I did like I've seen in the movies, you know, you put a blanket on first. Then you put this saddle on there, and then you pull it down, and this horse is kind of like, what is this guy doing? You can tell he didn't trust me a bit. But I cinch this saddle on, and I get him on, and then I start to get this bit and to put it in that horse's mouth, and that horse would have nothing to do with that bit. I was trying to get it in, and I, of course, again, I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm sure that was the case. But this horse would not take the bit in its mouth. So I thought, well, how am I going to do this? So I just took a bucket of oats and put it on the end of a stick. And then I got up on the saddle and I stuck that bucket of oats in front of it and it started walking. So I'm out in the pasture riding this horse with this bucket of oats on a stick riding around. I thought, yeah, I'm a pretty cool cowboy. Pastor said, go, Dan, go. That was the only way I could get it to go. Hallelujah. I figure there's a will, there's a way. The Bible says, behold, also the ships, which though they be so great, they're so huge, are driven of fierce winds, yet they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. You got to be a governor over your words, a governor over your tongue. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defiles the whole body, sets on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. Man, that's pretty strong language right there. But that's the truth. Words are so powerful. For every kind of beast and birds and serpents, things in the sea is tamed. They can even tame killer whales. I think that's amazing. If you've ever been to SeaWorld or anywhere and they see these huge killer whales that are tamed, and yet man can't tame the tongue. It says, but the tongue can no man tame. I'll tell you, the only way you can control what comes out of your mouth is by the power of God. No man can tame it, but God can. And what's on the inside of you, the spirit of man will come out. Whatever is inside of you is what you're going to speak. But when you get God on the inside of you and His Word, then you can speak good things. You can speak life. But it says that the tongue is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Man was made after the image of God. And therefore, we respect man because we respect God. A lot of people don't have that understanding or comprehension in even other religions where they treat bodies and they are so, I'm trying to think of the right word to use, but they mutilate bodies when they don't realize this body is made after the similitude of God. We are made in His image, and therefore that demands some respect just to the fact that we are made in His image. But it says, we curse men that are made after the similitude of God. God says not to do that. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. And so Samson, he was able to kill 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. Let's not do the same thing with our brothers. Hallelujah. And our jawbones. Amen. And a lot of times we give God controls of our tongues, but only at church. You know what I'm saying? It's like people don't realize what you say has power and it means something. And you can get online, you can get on Facebook and see what people are saying. And I never cease to be amazed at how people evidently don't think that we can see those things. Pastor Bob has said many times, what if we put all your sins on the screen? You'd have new doors in here. And all we'd have to do is get on Facebook and I can put your whole life on that screen right now if you want. We can. We can put your life on there. And people do. That's what's amazing. And they don't realize what they say, even if it's typed in an email or in a text. You've seen it. They call those people trolls that say things that are not pure, lovely, and of a good report. Or that go and they just speak evil. And it's a problem a lot of people really have online. It's like they transform into a different person. But I tell you what happens really is the real them comes out. The real them is revealed. And so you don't want to be a troll. How you talk when nobody is looking is where your life is headed. That's where your life is headed. Again, how you talk when nobody is around or no one is looking is where your life is really genuinely headed. Now, hopefully for many of you tonight, that's a good thing. And you say, man, praise God, that's awesome. Others might be, Lord, help me. God, forgive me. I knew this guy. He said, you know, I can talk however I want. I can say anything I want. It doesn't change anything. I can say I'm the president of the United States. Hey, see, I'm not. It didn't work. And so some people are foolish with that in saying that what you say really doesn't make a difference. But over a period of time, I promise you, it makes a difference. Just like a friend of mine, he was riding his bike when he was a kid. And he's riding his bike and he's going down this hill. And as he's going down this hill, he just for a second closed his eyes. And then he opened them and realized, hey, I'm still going straight. This is awesome. That felt cool. So he did it again, went up to the top of the hill and went down a little further and closed his eyes a little longer this time and thought, wow, this is awesome. The wind in my hair, I feel it, and yet I'm just flying. And then he opened his eyes. Well, then he tried it one more time. And thought, man, I can make it down the whole way without even opening my eyes. And so he decided, I'm just going to ride. And he closed his eyes and is going down the hill. And he said there were these brick walls at the end of the hill on each side of the street. And he said he almost made it. But as he was going, he was veering a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, till the last thing, he caught this brick wall, and with his eyes closed, just smacked right into a brick wall, broke his glasses, tore up his bike, and it hurt. Yeah. And so people that say, what I say really doesn't matter, well, yeah, go ahead, keep doing that. See what happens. You know, it's like running a red light. As a minister, so many times you just feel frustrated with people because they run a red light and nothing happens. And they say, hey, I was able to, nothing happened. You know, have you ever been sitting at a stoplight and it's red and there's nobody for miles? And you're sitting here thinking, why am I stopped at this red light? It's the law. Why am I sitting here? And you're sitting there at that red light because you are obedient to the law and it's wisdom. Because, yeah, you could run that light and no one would know. And, hey, no one would judge you because nobody knew about it. Just run it. Run that thing. That light has no power or authority over you. But you do that enough times and it's the car that you didn't see that kills you. If you're breaking the law and you're running red lights, that's what's going to happen. And so, again, you've got to stop and pay attention to what the Word says. And if it says that there's death and life in the power of the tongue, then you've got to believe it and trust God's Word and say, you know what, maybe this confession thing, there's something to it. And even though it may not make sense and I may say something and nothing happens, over a period of time, eventually it does make a difference in my life. And I trust God's Word. So, I've known people who had issues with their language. I had a manager that I worked with at the Olive Garden that he one time called me into his office and he wasn't normally like that. Big old muscle man guy. He brings me in the office and he's crying. As he shuts the door, he's bawling. I'm like, why is this guy crying? He said, hey, I need you to tell me what to do. He was a grown man. I was 18 years old. And I'm thinking, okay, what's the problem? He said, I can't stop cussing. And my dad cusses. And my wife won't let my son be around my dad because of his language. And I can't stop. I've tried and I've tried and I've tried. And I can't stop cussing. And if you've ever been in the restaurant business, you know how it is. Again, what you see out in the dining room is all beautiful and it's nice and the servers are all dressed nice and there's a great show going on. In fact, it's probably one of the greatest shows that you'll ever see in the restaurant business is your server or your waitress that is so sweet and so beautiful. And how may I help you, sir? As she's working for that tip and then she walks through those swinging doors and all of a sudden transforms into Jezebel or whatever. And I mean, lets off a string of cuss words like crazy. That's just the way the restaurant business is. You'd be surprised how much of that goes on in the back. If you were back there, you would see it. It's terrible. And so this man, he had a problem being in the restaurant business as long as he was. He just had an issue with that. And I had to explain to him, there's only one answer, and that's Jesus in your heart. He's the only one I've ever seen that can bring change to somebody like that. Because I've known people that were that way. My dad included. There was a time there whenever his life was just downhill. And he was not getting closer to God, but farther from God. And he was backslid and away from God. And God turned his life around. And I'm telling you, it changed my dad so much that I never once in my life ever heard my dad say a cuss word. Not once. And he would tell us stories about things that happened before I was born. And I'd say, how's that possible that could be you? But he said when God touched him and changed his life, it literally was like all his crooked teeth got pulled and God put in straight ones like that. Because here he was with sunglasses, one lens in and one lens out. He had long hair, cowboy hat, cowboy boots with overalls and no shirt, and he dyed himself blue because he hated racism so bad. He didn't want to be black. He didn't want to be white. So he dyed himself blue. That was the age he was a hippie in. New age, true age, blue age. And I think, Dad, that was you? Oh, my gosh. And there was a lot of craziness that he went through, and none of it was a blessing to his life. None of it was fun. He never talked fondly of those days. He didn't reminisce about when he used to be blue, you know. It was always, man, let me tell you, son, don't ever go there. But God changed his life so miraculously that literally it changed the way he even spoke. He became a preacher of the word like his dad was and started preaching the gospel. And that's the only way I ever knew him. And so God can do that. It's a supernatural thing. But then for others, it's kind of like the difference between lightning and a sunrise. And then sometimes sunrise takes a while for it to come up. And you're not even sure exactly when it happened. But you know that, hey, it was dark and now it's light. And so regardless of how you get there, the point is that you're getting there. Amen? And that we can always improve in our vocabulary and in how we speak as we're yielded to the Lord. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And God wants you to be able to eat good fruit. If you want life, then you have to speak life. You don't have to, you get to. I've heard Pastor Bob talk about how he says, I get to preach. Not, oh, I have to preach. He used to say that and the Lord corrected him. And the Lord's corrected me about things. I've said, I have to. I have to go to work. Well, God says, I can fix that where you don't have to anymore. You don't have to. Oh, no, I get to. I get to go to work. Praise God. Hey, I get to go to work. And I know it's a small word, but, you know, little things control big things. Again, just like it's a little rudder on a ship. So I get to, not I have to. Somebody said, there are three things that can come out of your mouth. Life and death, blessing or cursing, or good and evil. Again, is it life? Is it blessing? Is it good? And if it's not, why say it? And thank God, the older I get, the more I'm starting to learn when not to say things and when to say things. And I've heard pastors speak many times about if I would have been younger, I would have said something. And I've always thought about when he said that. In my younger days, I might have said something. And I got a hold of that to say, man, I am in my younger days. Maybe I'm saying some things I shouldn't say. And so to the young people, we need to wise up and watch exactly what it is that we do say. You got to speak with your mouth and then believe in your heart. Romans 10:8-9 says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So we preach the word of faith. And what is the word of faith? That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And I notice here in this case, it has confession before believing. And many times, that's the way it is. You confess something before you believe it. We've heard Kenneth Hagin preach for years, Mark 11:23-24. You have what you say. You shall have whatsoever he saith. And that you need to do three more times more saying than even you do believing. Because it says confess three times and saying three times and believing once. And that's true. We have to watch our confession. Because what you say is what you will eventually believe. And there are times where faith comes and then the confession comes. So I'm not saying it has to always come confession first, but get that right now, if at all possible. And so we speak life. It's important that our children speak life. There are times Samuel, it's man's nature to say things the way they see him. And it just speak, say they'll say things. If they say they're sick, I say, no, that's not what the word says, son. The Bible says, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I want you to say it. Say, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. And he'll say, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. And so I'm programming the word of God in him. Somebody said, oh, you're brainwashing your kids. Hey, you know what? Their brain needs washing. Amen. I'm telling you, you can't watch TV anymore without needing a brainwashing every time you watch a commercial. And even clean channels, maybe the Hallmark Channel, and you think, man, there's nothing wrong with the Hallmark Channel. There's enough commercials to kill anybody on the Hallmark Channel. I always tell Ashley's nanny, I say, nanny, you watch these commercials because these commercials will kill you. Because they're talking death, 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 death. Every one of them talking sickness, talking symptoms. And they're programming you to be sick. Because they want to sell their medicine. And they know. Do you think they don't know this works? If they can program enough people to be sick, they know they're going to sell a whole lot of their product. And I don't even listen to them. We mute it, we'll turn it off or whatever. If they start talking sickness, doubt, whatever that is, no, we turn that off. And then we speak health, life, and strength. So, it may take some time. Again, if you think, well, you know, I've been saying this and saying this and saying this and nothing has happened. You might need to mix a little faith with what you're saying. You might need to, but don't quit saying it. Don't think that, oh, well, may as well stop steering now. That's ridiculous. Yeah, you'll run into a brick wall. Hebrews 13:15 says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. As we do that, as we're speaking those words, man, there's nothing wrong with that. If you don't know what to do, just praise God and worship Him. If you don't know what to say in a situation, or you may not even know the Word of God, if you can just know enough to give thanks to God that things are as good as they are, to thank Him and to praise Him, that'll be enough. Revelation 12:11 says they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. What they said overcame the devil. And so it's important that we say what God says and make God's word our word. And yes, Jesus died and He shed His blood. That was His part of our salvation. But we thank and praise Him, and that's part of our receiving of His part of giving. And so in the same way, your part to receive is to confess what God has already said is yours. It's not just going to happen because God made it available. Just like salvation doesn't happen just because God made it available, you have to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. So what is it you need tonight? What is it you're finding a lack of? What are you believing God for? Speak the word of God concerning that issue and speak what God says and start speaking it and keep continually speaking it. It may be something, a word habit that's been passed down from generations. And you've had a lot of people talk about how they have generational curses in their family. And that may be, I'm not making light of a generational curse, but it's possible that it could be a generational way of speaking. And that if you can change that generational way of speaking, you can change your generations to come. Hallelujah. And you can speak the word of God. So we need to be praising and thanking God. 2 Corinthians 4:18, and we're about to wrap up. We want to get everybody home tonight and drive safe as you're going out there. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, the unseen things are eternal. We look not at the things which are seen, but at the unseen things. Because the things that we see are temporary, but the unseen things are eternal. You can't see my words that I'm speaking, yet these words are eternal words. Man, they have far more lasting fruit than if I were to punch somebody, that would wear off. But a word, man, a word is forever. Jesus said, my words are forever settled in heaven. Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we see that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Think about that. By the word of God, everything was made that was made. And so you talk about power. This is not just destructive power, but creative power that has created everything we have seen by things that are not seen. And you're telling me your words have nothing to do with the situation in your life. By faith, we see the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made by those things which do appear. You're not building your life necessarily with 2x4s and hammers and nails. You can build your house that way. And I have great respect for anybody that can do that. But the Bible says too that a foolish woman will tear down her house through her words. You have more power in your words than dynamite, than explosives. And so we have to speak life. And watch our confession and speak what we want. Say what we want, not what we see. Again, it's our nature to see what we see and say what we see. Well, this is what I see in the natural. There was a song we were listening to on the way home that, give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see. Talking about God, I want to see things the way you see things. And I want to see things the way you see them in the Spirit. And God speaketh those things which be not as though they were. So you can start speaking those things into existence as you see it. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I am prosperous. The devourer is rebuked for my sake. And you start speaking those, even though your checkbook, as you see it, may speak contrary to that. And of course, the devil will bring every image to you to try to show you something to get you to contradict God's word. But don't do it. The last scripture here, Romans 10, we're going to read it again. I just want to reiterate this. Because I really believe And I dare say that we have not sucked all the revelation out of this scripture. Even though many people may feel like, oh, we know that. That thing I love about the Word of God is that it, because it is eternal, there's always something to get out of it. There's always something that we need. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 through 10, His words are life unto us. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. But what saith, the word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession, which is a continuous action, is made unto salvation, is made unto healing, unto deliverance, unto prosperity, and it's all inclusive. And it's a principle. It's a basic principle of the Word of God that we have to live by. And I've been hearing it. If you've been listening to Pastor too, he's been hitting it and hitting it and hitting it in just about every message he's preached lately. Confession, confession, confession. And when that happens, it makes me say, okay, God's wanting to get something across about confession right now. Maybe there's something in my life I need to get right about what I'm saying. And again, it may not be some total, I may have a cussing problem. I cussed one time when I was a kid. Never liked it, never cussed again. Hated it. I was cussing out. My brother said, wouldn't it be awesome if it was okay to cuss? And I just thought, I don't know. He said, let's just say every cuss word we know. We were out in the middle of a field, and so we just started cussing the bushes, and we cussed the rocks. Blankety blank rock, blankety blank blank, and I learned a few new ones. But after that, I can't explain the feeling in my heart. I just thought, that just felt terrible. I didn't like that. Oh, I'm ashamed to say that I cussed. And I believe it's the Holy Ghost will convict you and bring that correction in your heart to say, don't say that. Don't you be cussing God's creation. But I'll say also the Holy Spirit, when you say something, I pray the Holy Spirit will speak to you and say, don't contradict God's word. That's not what God says. And again, speak the truth in love. I've known some people that were the confession police. And you'd say anything, they'd say, oh, don't you say that. And I'd be like, okay, sorry. Whoa, down, boy. I'm not saying be the confession police, but do be the governor over your mouth and over what you say. And be very careful over what you say, because I believe words truly do have power, and I believe that that's the word that God was speaking to me tonight. And this week, as you go about your business and as you're doing what you're doing, I just trust that the Lord is going to just bring to your heart thoughts on confession. Lord, what am I going to do with what I've heard tonight? Again, I don't want to just inform you, but I want to inspire you to do something. To not just give you information, but give you inspiration to say, you know, based on this word from God, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to change something in my life. People are like vending machines. Whatever's in them comes out when you push their buttons. And if somebody's pushing your buttons and something that's not of God is coming out, then just say, Lord, help me. And there might need to be some repentance that goes on. Hallelujah. And I want everyone to just search your heart and ask the Lord. I don't believe the Lord would have me to deliver a message that didn't apply to anybody. His word always applies if you'll apply it. But we've got to apply the word and just ask yourself and search your heart. It's something I can't do for anybody else but me. I can only search my own heart and say, Lord, is there anywhere in my language, anywhere in what I'm saying that's contrary to your word? Am I speaking words of life to my family and to my wife? Words of blessing, words of encouragement. Am I encouraging or discouraging? My wife has a little reminder on her phone that it pops up every once in a while. And I'll go check it because I think, oh, somebody's texting. It's just this little bling. And I go over, look at it, and it's a reminder for her. And it says, am I encouraging or discouraging Dan? And when I see that, I just say, wow. Thank you, God, for a good wife. And so in the same way, we got to ask ourselves, am I encouraging or I'm... Because sometimes you're doing it and don't realize it. So you might need to set a reminder on your phone. Use technology for something good. Put it to good use. You might have an encouraging word that it just pops up and reminds you. You are healed by the stripes of Jesus. Well, thank you, Siri. That was awesome. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, God, we just thank you for your word spoken to us. Thank you for your sweet Holy Spirit, God, that is just so loving and so gently corrects us and keeps us on track. Thank you, God, that this week we're going to speak words of life and words of blessing. Hallelujah. And I just think, Pastor, I'll leave this up to you as far as whatever you want to say, but I would ask that you leave us tonight with words of blessing, that you speak a blessing over us. Because pastor's words have power. And he can speak a blessing over you that if you'll receive it, it'll be life to you. As a spiritual authority, receive that blessing. As I'm just going to let pastor speak whatever's on his heart, but I know it'll be good. I know it'll be a blessing. It's also why it's so important to listen to his message this morning. Listen to his messages throughout the week. And keep that blessing, keep that word of God on the inside of you. Well, that's all I have, sir. Thank you so much.
Well, can you say thank God for a good message? Let the words of my mouth and the words of my heart. What is it? Meditation.